You're listening to SaaS Acquisition Stories, a podcast featuring the stories from both startup founders and buyers who have successfully gone through an acquisition process using MicroAcquire, the number one startup acquisition marketplace in the world. To date, MicroAcquire has helped hundreds of startups get acquired and has facilitated hundreds of millions in closed deal volume. Here's your host, Andrew Gazdecki.
All right, I'm here with Akhil Jabbar from Horizon Ventures. I'm super excited for this. We haven't caught up in a while, man. How you been?
I've been good, man. It's a pleasure to be on. Great to chat with you again. Glad we can catch up.
You as well. Well, so for people that may not know of Horizon, do you want to give just a brief background around what you guys do? Just maybe the 60-second quick pitch.
Yeah, sounds good. So Horizon Capital, we invest, you know, B2B SaaS companies. You know, we do acquisitions, we do investments, you know, all sizes, generally somewhere between, you know, 500K to 5 million in ARR, B2B only. And, you know, our portfolio now, we have about five companies active and, you know, active slowly doing deals as they come through.
Nice. Well, yeah. Progress, man. Like it.
Yes, yeah.
So I guess my next question would be, you know, you look at a lot of deals per month, I'm guessing. And so, you know, as you look at these potential startup acquisitions, how do you evaluate startups that you're going to acquire?
Yeah, sure. So we start with, you know, high level filter. So this is our first, you know, criteria we look at. So what are the companies doing between, like I said, 500K to 5 million in ARR? We'll look at growth. So, you know, potential, you know, zero, you know, look at flat line up to 30% growth. So we don't like these, you know, super high growth companies, and we're not competing with VC money or capital investments. We like profitable, or at least, you know, break even. So we don't want, you know, anything that's burning. If you're burning capital, you know, we're not going to invest in you. And then the other criteria is, you know, we're looking at monthly churn of less than 3% and LTV of at least 1500. So that's the first step. If we're happy with that, then we go into the next stage, which is, all right, now we look at whether we think, when we look at this company, can we make a significant impact to actually grow this company, you know, like apply our playbook and make a difference and you know, make a worthwhile of an investment. So we'll look at things like your website, their, you know, analytics and their competitors, look at their sales and kind of marketing process, and then assess kind of quick wins. What are some quick wins we can do and improve within like the first 3 months, the first 6 months? If we feel we can add value, we build a plan, we'll go deeper into an audit. And then we'll deep dive into like different fundamentals. So like, you know, your customers, your competition, the different sales channels, your marketing channels, kind of break it down and see what's working, what isn't. And then, you know, management, let's look at the management, the market, the money. So the actual financials of it, the product, the projection, partners, like, you know, who are the different partners? Do you have affiliates? Do you have resellers? The actual technology, the transaction terms, what is the actual, like, what are they looking for? Is it, you know, worth kind of what we think it is? And then what is the risks around all this? So we'll take all these different factors, we'll plug it into a like a scorecard. And then that'll kind of give us an idea of like, all right, is this, you know, what are some red flags here? What are some areas we need to improve? And what we think based off that, like what do we think it's worth at this point and whether we want to move forward.
Nice. That's quite a detailed answer. I guess you know, one side question I have based on that is what are some like big red flags? And this kind of ties into my next question of like, you know, with us going into 2022, a lot of founders are looking to sell their businesses. I'd love to hear just like your top two, you know, tips for founders looking to position their companies for an acquisition, and then maybe like red flags that you come across commonly.
Okay. So I'll start with red flags. I guess red flags, market. So is like a declining market, and you know, even their company, right? They like declining. I mean, that'll be a thing. Was like, all right, something's going on here. Like these founders are smart. Like they've built this thing to a solid place for a reason. They know what they're doing. But you know, something's going on here. So we'll kind of red flag that and see what's happening there. And then, you know, from partners and customer concentration. So we don't like, or even in the marketing channel. So three things, like those things are pretty intertied where, if like 30% of your traffic comes from one keyword, if 30% of your customer represents like, you know, 30% of your, sorry, one customer represents 30% of your revenue, or, you know, a lot of these things where like, there's a lot of risk on one small thing that could go wrong.
Yeah. You lose one of those, you lose like 30% of the revenue.
Exactly. You're like, oh, you're scrambling how to figure that out. Right.
Yeah.
Get that back. Yeah. And then tips kind of, you know, for founders look going into the next year, I guess, you know, first thing, if you're looking to sell, like clean up your financials and reporting. Like if you have clean, you know, reliable, well-presented data, I think that's just like confidence to any buyer. Like, okay, this guy knows what's up. He knows, you know, he has his stuff in order. He's not, has nothing to hide. I think that's the image it shows. And then, you know, before going into like a sale, like kind of figure out your priorities. Like, do you want to get as much guaranteed payment upfront for your company? Or is this like, all right, this is the total potential consideration important to you? Other questions we get are like, is the legacy of your business important for you? Is the future of your staff important to you? Do you care if they stay or they're gone? Are they going to move on with you? Do you still want to work with the company post-transaction? Or are you looking just like, you know, get this off your plate, move on, retire, and, you know, live in Cabo?
And then where I just got back from.
Exactly.
Why you don't want to live in Cabo. Or maybe you do.
It was like a couple of weeks. Yeah. And then being clear with yourself on like what your priorities are to help you target, you know, who you want to approach and pitch, be more consistent. So I think it just, you know, have your number in mind. I think let's be clear with yourselves. Like if I like that set point is like, if I sell at this number or I don't sell at all, like just think through that situation. I think, you know, you've been through that. I was like, yeah, you know, you're kind of close. Like this is a number. I might take it, but then there's one's like, yo, this is a great deal. I'm taking this. This is way better than I thought. Right. So, and if not, it's like, okay, be willing to walk away and just like continue running your business. Right.
Yeah. I like that a lot, especially just the, I think so many founders underestimate just the importance of a clean 3-year P&L that just gives you like a good, healthy financial snapshot of the business. Cause it shows they have, you know, their books in order too, you know, they've prepared in advance. And all that can really, you know, give good signals to buyers that like they're serious about doing an acquisition rather than just like, here's kind of like my Stripe stuff, you figure it out. So the more they can make your lives easier, you know, the higher their chances of being acquired.
So I wonder from your perspective on like microacquire, do you see that? Like the ones who come in prepared with like everything, like the process just moves a lot quicker, I'm guessing, than the ones who
are. Oh, yeah. If you have like a data room set up, you have a clean P&L, you have metrics attached or connected, it just makes the buyer's decision that much easier. But it, more importantly, it signals to buyers that you understand, you know, the acquisition process, you're looking to sell the business, and just the difference between having all that and then compared that to, let's say, an equal startup without those, you know, things, unless that other startup is growing like 4 times faster, you know, buyers are going to gravitate towards the one where that, you know, there's clear signals that this is a serious seller and, you know, they're looking to do a deal and they know what buyers are looking for to make that decision.
Exactly.
So absolutely. So my next question would just be your favorite acquisition story. That's going to be, you know, partial buyout, it could be a full buyout, it could be one you've heard about.
I heard about it. Maybe I don't follow other people's stories as deeply, but I'm sure there's a ton of those cool ones. But maybe too, like, you know, so $99 Social was my first kind of bigger, you know, like seven figure acquisition. You know, when you talk about risk, you know, people looking at that P&L, every, you know, when it comes to investing, there's just, you know, risk, understanding your risk from like a micro and macro level, and then emotions and being able to tie that together. Right. And I think people think, you know, if I want to start a micro PE firm, you have to, you know, get right in and buy this big company. I think is like, you know, build yourself up slowly. You know, just start investing and like understand if you know what you're doing, unless you're like really, really good at marrying those two together. And I think it just takes time and experience. So $99 Social was the first kind of bigger one that, you know, over many different investors, that one came out. You know, bought that one, was able to like double it within like 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So that one, you know, did really well. And then, you know, kind of started building up from there, right? From there, we went to bigger deals, and that's kind of where we got today. So I don't think you have to start, you know, really big, start small, like start in the stock market, start in real estate, whatever. But like that emotional, like understanding risk and then how to manage it with your emotions, I think is probably more important.
Nice. That's great advice. I always recommend, you know, for those, you know, looking to get into acquisitions, like starting small and learning, like even just going through the motions, even if it's a very small, it's called like a $20K deal, treat it like a larger deal. So when you do get to that point,
My first deal was 2014. I think it was like a 50K like content site. And that's where like it really started. It was like, oh, this is actually real. You can actually make money online. And then, you know, it moves up from there.
Yeah. And you just learn as you go. And then the next thing you know, you're just, the only difference is you're adding 0 at the end of the deal.
Basically, yeah, more or less, yeah.
Right on. Well, I guess, my last question would just be, so last year we had a record year in terms of just private equity activity, acquisitions, everything was just kind of on fire. What do you think we're going to see in this next year? Good times, maybe a return to, normal, bad times, better times. Something else, like if you had to just kind of predict where we're going to be at the end of the year, where do you think we're going to be?
Yeah, what's happening? We're getting to like post-COVID. You got inflation rising. We have, now the Ukraine, Russia war in Europe. And what's happening is we're seeing like the valuation in publicly traded SaaS companies starting to drop. So I think like midterm.
And one thing I'll point out too, and you're completely right about this. And sorry to interrupt. I just had
Go ahead.
I read this today. Public market SaaS companies were traditionally trading at 20x annual recurring revenue. Now they're on average trading at 8x. So they've gone from 20 to 8x in a period of, so things move fast in terms of like, we could see another quick spike up, but sorry, continue.
So I think like midterm, you'll also see even not just like buyers, but VCs, investors will also be like more risk averse. So I wouldn't be surprised if like some of those high growth, cash burning startups like rely on constantly new rounds to survive will maybe soon struggle to find new investors, and either they're going to go bankrupt or they're going to have to find a buyer. So I think what we'll see going forward is like more struggling SaaS companies, and I think for you and for us that creates more opportunities to like find these like distressed SaaS businesses. But also I think the valuation of like the SaaS is just going to be more reasonable. I think, like you said, 2021 was just, ludicrous, that like all professionals, VCs and, everybody kind of in the space was like, what's going on. But I think it'll come back. And I think another thing we'll mention is like that maybe we're not used to hearing is like, there's going to be a switch of mentality into like ARR growth will not be like the only sole purpose of the business. And it won't be like the measure of success. Maybe there's other things, right? Like the impact of the business. And I think even investors will switch their focus on like high growth, high risk speculative play to like, hey, maybe let's find more of these like stable, reliable investment SaaS companies, that are like growing organically and profitably, which is why we're here and why we're in business. So I think there'll be more of us kind of popping up and like VCs moving into this space as well.
I agree with pretty much everything you're saying. It's a great answer. So I got three last questions for you, and these are, kind of the rapid fire ones. So if you could just look at one metric when you're looking to acquire a company, what would it be?
The one that scares me and also excites me is churn.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
You know it, right? Yeah. I don't say growth. It's churn for sure.
Churn. Okay. Yeah. And then, who's an entrepreneur that you look up to?
Is that specifically like SaaS or any?
It could be any entrepreneur. It could be any business person, just.
Yeah, I think, more like well-rounded overall, who I like to, follow the space, probably like more like Tim Ferriss,
nice.
Tapping it from all angles. Yeah.
Good answer. Yeah. He's definitely in like the top 10, I think, across everyone's list.
Yeah.
Sure. And then, final question, for those like looking to, learn about acquisitions or, they want to enter entrepreneurship through acquisitions, what's like a podcast or like one book that you would just absolutely like recommend they check out? Besides your podcast,
I was going to say, shameless plug.
Plug your podcast.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, SaaS District School. If you want to know what SaaS,
it's a good podcast. SaaS District, definitely check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Book wise, I mean, I like Good to Great. I think that one's good. I think like everybody has to read that book by Jim Collins.
Nice, Jim Collins. That's actually one of my favorite books. Actually sitting right next to me.
Really? He's on my top 10 list entrepreneurs too. So he was close to Tim. So.
Yeah, he's got a couple other really, really good books to check out. I can't think of off the top of my head. But this has been great, Akil. If people want to, reach out to you, maybe they feel like your firm is a good fit for a potential acquisition. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can hit me up on LinkedIn or just check out our website, horizoncapital.com.
So I'll put that in the show notes too.
All right, perfect. Yeah, just reach out and we'll see. We'll check it out, see if it's a good fit and give you see if we can work together.
Sounds good. Akil, so good catching up, and appreciate your time.
No, thank you. It was a pleasure, Andrew.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the SaaS Acquisition Stories podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard today, make sure to like and follow on your preferred channel. And if you know a friend or colleague that would benefit from hearing this conversation, please share it with them. For more information on MicroAcquire and how we can help you start conversations that lead to an acquisition in just 30 days, check us out at microacquire.com. We'll see you next time.